How do you do? No, it's not howdy doody time. That is not. No, no. It's time to get serious. Amen? Those songs are awesome this morning, worship team. And it's kind of right where I'm at, where we've been the last few weeks. And let me do this here. Okay. So, you know, those songs we were singing up there today kept talking about, somebody remember what? Glory? Glory? Anybody remember what we've been talking about the last few weeks? Knowing God, right? So what do we, how's that going for you? So last week we talked about that special place, that special time. Remember all that? So how's that working for you? How did it work for you? Why did I think it would be that crooked? So did anybody like add to, you know, we all have a time where we read a Bible or we have a devotional or we do, you know, something. Did you add to it that time to get before the Lord and be still and know? Anybody add to it? Okay. All right. You know, now here's the thing about this, about knowing God. It isn't going to happen like that. You go, oh, you know, I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to know everything there is to know about God. I'm going to know who I am in Him. I'm just going to have it all figured out. It's not going to happen that way. It's going to be step by step by step. Amen? And so how do you know that you're getting closer to God? How do you know? Can you know? How do you, if you can, how do you know? You know when you're knower? Okay. All right. Well, let's take a look at the word this morning. So open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 34 and to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Yeah. Exodus 34. And then put your finger in. You can only do that if you have a, you know, a paper Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. So who are we? Anybody remember who we are? Impact Faith Church is what? You took it down? All right, let's do this again. Okay. We are a charismatic, spirit-filled church seeking true revival through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? Worship, prayer, and the word while and making disciples. Amen? You're going to put that to memory, right? That's your elevator speech. So, has anybody in here ever not been hungry? Except right after you eat, right? I mean, right after we're not hungry. That's the best time I have found to go on a diet is right after you eat, because hunger isn't really an issue. But if you go to the doctor and you have some kind of a ailment going on, the doctor's going to ask you this question. How's your appetite, right? Why is he going to ask you how is your appetite? Because if you lose your appetite, there's something probably going on that's deeper than what's on the surface. You know, something inside of you isn't working the way it should be working. But as a Christian, okay, it's natural for a Christian to be, okay, this is natural for a Christian to be hungry for God. Yeah. Like to be hungry for His presence, to hear His voice, you know, to have Him, you remember last week we talked about the seatbelts in the car, you know, to have Him sitting right next to you, you know, in the car next to you. That's where we, you know, and then, so when we get that hunger, when we're hungry for God, what do? We eat, you know. Years ago, we showed you this video by Lynn Hammond on eating the Word. You know, we need to eat the Word, eat. You know, so that's what we eat. But if you're not hungry for these things, if you're not hungry for the Word, if you're not hungry for the things of God, then it's an indication that something's wrong. Yeah. Something deeper. It's like, well, you know, I just go to church. I go, yeah, but what about after that? Well, I'll be back to church next Sunday. Something's wrong if we're not hungry for God. Because just coming to church on Sunday morning doesn't make you hungry for God. It means it's almost, to me, it's like more I'm doing a duty instead of it's something I want to do because that's what I want to do. And that's who I want. I want to be with those people. I want to be there. So if you're not hungry for the things of God, it's an indication something's wrong. Something deeper is out of whack, right? So in the natural, if I'm not hungry, then there's you know, some kind of sickness is going on. Or, you know, that takes away your hunger for food. Or you're eating so much junk food, okay, that your desire for something nutritional has been lost, right? Junk food, who likes junk food? I mean, okay, it's like, well, I don't want to live on it, but who likes junk food, right? Everybody likes junk food to an extent, you know. I mean, there's things, you know, like, one of my things that I never eat anymore, but it's still there, is those old yellow things, corn curls, Pepsi and a corn curl, man. When I worked on Graveyard, that was every night, man, was Pepsi and a corn curl, Pepsi and a corn curl, sometimes two times. There is no nutritional value in either one of those foods, right? No, but because I would eat those and I wouldn't eat good food, right? So you know, junk food might taste good, it might be fun to eat, it might be, you know, I know people that eat it just because it's cheap. You know, it's cost more money to go to the grocery store and buy good food than it does to go to McDonald's and buy a $1 burger and a $1 French fry and some kind of pop. You know, it's like, well, great, you know, you might fill up, you know, but it's not good for you. It doesn't meet your body's nutritional need. Okay, so, but when that happens, then the desire begins to leave for the good stuff. So spiritually, same thing happens to us, you know. So when we lose our appetite for Him, then it means this. One of two things. Either we're sick inside, which usually means sin has entered in and has caused us to pull away from Him. Or two, we're filling ourselves up with Christian junk food. You know, we have a Christian donut, you know, or a religious Big Mac. You know, we can listen to all kinds of things out there, but it's not meat. It's not good nutritional food for us. Okay? So that's how we can lose our natural hunger or even our spiritual hunger. But for us, you know, why am I doing this series? Why do you think I'm doing this series? So I have something to stand up here and talk to you about? No. Because I want me. Okay, so here's the thing. So I spend in the morning, first thing, typically, okay, not every morning, but almost every morning, hour to 2 hours in the Word, studying, reading. And then, again in the evening, I'll do it again. Sometimes I fall asleep in the evening, you know. But, I mean, that's kind of my plan. But this last week, I decided, because, see, this ministers to me. If it doesn't to you, I just want you to know, it does to me, okay? So this week, I made, you know, after last week, you know, actually before last week, but going into it, I decided, okay, I'm going to spend one extra hour a day praying in the Spirit and praying over this place here. And every time, it's like every time, this is how things work. I started to move on that. I got interrupted almost every day this week. So what does that tell me? It tells me I'm on the right track, you know. And so that isn't going to happen this week. It's, you know, it ain't going to happen. It's going to happen my way, right? I mean, that's just like, okay, I'm going to take a stand, and that's the way it's going to be. Okay, so my goal for me, and I hope it is for you, or it is for you also, I hope you want to grab onto it, is to have a deeper experience, that intimate, to know God intimately, right? So the same word that they use in Genesis 4:1 means to, you know, that when Adam knew Eve and conceived, it was the same word that we want to use to know God. We want to have that intimate experience with Him, not just, I know God. Yeah, I know God. He sits up on the throne in the sky somewhere. You know, and Jesus died sometime in the past for my sins, and, you know, I accepted Him as Lord, and, well, that's it. You know, now I'm going to just wait till I die, and I'll go to heaven. That's not what we want. We want to know God here and in the now, right? Are you listening? So we want to know God here in the now, right? Right. So, you know, that's the place where we want to go. You know, because when I'm driving down the road, I want to know if something's coming up that's going to hurt me. I want to know, you know, if, when I get up in the morning, maybe what's planned for me during that day? Where am I going to go? You know, and be ready when something happens. The other day, Friday morning, I had an appointment. I was waiting for it to take place. You know, I got talking to a guy, and then we had an appointment at the same place at the same time. And so after we got talking while we were waiting, and so after we got done, we says, hey, let's go get a cup of coffee, and let's just, you know, let's go get a cup of coffee. And he goes, oh, okay. I didn't know this guy from Adam or Eve, you know. So we went and had a cup of coffee, and we're talking, and he starts sharing his life, and we're just kibitzing back and forth. And so he was a teacher, and he was telling me some of his stories, and some of the things weren't so good. And so then after a while, he goes, so what do you do? I go, well, I pastor a church. Oh. I'm sorry I used the F word a little bit ago, right? It's like, dude, you think I've never heard that word? I mean, it's fine. Don't worry about it. You know, I mean, my whole spiritual walk got turned upside down because somebody said a word that we all think is bad. You know, no, we're fine. As we started talking about these things, because all of a sudden now I'm a pastor, you just start opening up. Start opening up about things, his marriage and his marriages and things that went right and things that went wrong. And so where do you go to church? This is how easy it is. So where do you go to church? Well, I used to go to church at such and such church here in town. You don't anymore? No, I don't. I just kind of got away from it. Why? I don't know. He lost his hunger. Some things went bad. He lost his hunger. So anyway, so it ended good, you know. And you know, when I left, you know, we prayed for him, and hey, this is where my church is. This is my card. Look us up, or you know, find yourself a church and get back into it. Yeah, I'm going to do that. Okay, so that's how easy it is, you guys. Conversation. So, how do you know when you're getting to know God? Good question, right? If I was to ask every one of you that, you'd come up with, you know, some kind of a different answer. How do you know it's working? Say, okay, God, here I am. I'm gonna get to know you. So I'm gonna sit here in my chair, and I'm gonna wait for something to happen, right? How do you know it's clicking? How do you know you're connecting? How do you know you're coming into knowledge of who you are in Him? How do you know it's happening? How do you know it's working? You know, how do you know, what's the theory to make this work? You know, how do I measure it? What's the matrix? How do I know? Right, this question we got to ask. So it's simple. It's really simple. It comes down to one word. You ready for this? Write this down. This is how you're going to know. You change. You change. You change. A change to His way, away from my way. If I'm not, getting to know Him. See, you can come to church and you can serve. You can serve cake and you can be an usher. You can clean the church. You can come to church every Sunday, listen to all the sermons, all that stuff. That doesn't mean you're growing. That means you're coming to church. You're serving. You know, serving here or there. You're listening to the sermons. You go home. But if nothing changes, then you're not growing. You can read a book, you can read your Bible, you can read devotionals, you can do all of this, part of it, none of it or some of it. But if you're not changing, you're not connecting. You're not getting to know Him. Okay? People look for answers in all kinds of places, but it's right here on the ground. I know I'm getting closer to God when I begin to change and begin to look like Him. How do you know if a child is growing? They're what? Their clothes don't fit. Yeah. Why do their clothes not fit? Because they're changing. Right? I mean, one day, you know, I don't know why it is that babies, when they don't have teeth, they're really cute. When adults don't have teeth, it's harder, right? It's harder to be cute, right? So, you know, so we change, right? We change. That's how we know that something's going on. We notice that baby's doing okay because he's what? He's changing. If he doesn't change, then we know something's up. We want to go to the doctor or take him to the doctor and find out what's happening, right? So maybe if we need proof, and you say you don't have any proof, maybe it's because you're not changing. Maybe you're not changing. See, we're coming into a time in this world, and I actually believe it's happening now, where in times, he says, there's going to be a great falling away. And who's going to fall away? The non-Christians? It's the Christians that are going to fall away. Why are the Christians going to fall away? Because they're not hungry. They don't know God. They might have prayed the prayer. They might have read their Bible. They might do devotionals. But they don't know God. They don't know what's right. They don't know what's wrong. So when they hear something, they just go, yeah, okay. You know, they just go with it. You know, what's the last thing I heard? You know, years ago I figured this out. When people come and ask you for advice, and they're going to go ask somebody else for advice, they're going to ask somebody else for advice. I don't care what it is. Buy a camera, buy a car, you know, whatever it is. They're going to take the advice of the last person they heard. So I got to where I would ask them, when they'd ask me, well, what do you think about this? I go, well, are you going to go ask somebody else after me? Well, maybe. It doesn't matter what I say. I'm just wasting my time. You're wasting your time. Right? So who we need to know and hear is our Father in heaven. We need to know him. We need to know, we have to read his word. So we have to read his word to know him. Okay? We have to be able to listen to the Spirit to know him. But when we read the word, we see what he says. And because we're in this receiving mode from him, then we begin to change, right, to agree with what his word says. So that when somebody says contrary to his word, we go, yeah, okay, fine. You can believe what you want to believe. That's just not where I'm going to go. Does that make sense? Okay, so somebody can become in the church. They can still know the right things to say. They can know the right motions to make. You know, they know how to raise their hand. You know, maybe if, you know, it gets real holy, then people can get on their knees, you know, and say they know all the right things to do. But that doesn't mean they necessarily really know God. So let's go back to Exodus chapter 34. And we're going to start there a little bit. Verse 27. Now, we spent a lot of time in 33. Now, we're going to move up to verse 27 and 34. And let's take a look at some things here this morning. You doing okay? Okay. So then the Lord said to Moses, write these words, for according to the tenor of these words, I have made a covenant with you and with Israel. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. There's a miracle. Right? Where did this occur? In the presence of who? In the presence of God. Okay. And he wrote on the tablets. What kind of tablets did he write these on? Tablets of what? Stone. The words of the covenant, otherwise known as the Ten Commandments. So now it was so that when Moses came down from Mount Sinai, and the two tablets of the testimony were in Moses' hands when he came down from the mountain, that Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked to him. So he goes up the mountain. God meets him up there on the mountain. And he's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. No food, no water. Supernatural. And then he comes down the mountain. And what had happened to him? He changed. Why did he change? How did he change? Right, he was in the presence of who? God. He was in his presence. And for 40 days and 40 nights, you know. And so you know, I look at it this way. For 40 days and 40 nights, he's in God's presence, and God rubbed off on him. He rubbed off, you know, all of a sudden, he is. See, in John 1:5, it says, God is light, right? You take my word for it. Okay, God is light. John 1, or 1 John 1, 5 says that. And so he's in there 40 days, 40 nights, and he comes out, and he's what? Shiny. Too shiny. He's really shiny. And I think it bothered these people. So Moses, he went in, remember before this in 33, he says, Father, he says, show me your glory. Okay, and so he goes up and he spends time with them, and he comes down, and somewhere during that 40 days, 40 nights, he began to shine. So in verse 28, it says, so there he was. So he was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. He neither ate bread nor drank water. He was there for how long? 40 nights. He had an extended, uninterrupted time in the presence of God. Now, you can't necessarily spend 40 days and 40 nights, you know, in your room, locked away, you know, but you can still have that special time, that special place with the Father, right? We don't hear about the apostles doing this, right? We don't hear about them doing 40 days and 40 nights without food or water. Okay, so don't get an idea that, hey, I'm going to go do this. Don't do that. This is the only instance in the Bible where we see this. So when he went to visit with him, when he went to the top of the mountain, it wasn't just a visit. It was a habitation. It was a habitation. I'm not just visiting him. I am moving in with him. Okay? So he was up there for an extended time. God was speaking to him. Moses received the word on the two tablets, and he came down how? Changed. Verse 29, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone while he talked to him. He didn't even know he had changed. But those that saw him saw that he had changed. And then verses 30 through 35, we see Moses begin to give instruction to the people. And then towards the end there, we see that they put a veil over his face because he was too shiny. He was like a nuclear reactor going off. Okay. When Sue was going through chemo radiation, I used to tease her when she'd get in bed, you know, put the blankets over your head because you're glowing. You know, you've got some residue left over. So we look at this, what Moses did and how he changed, then we'll have to take a look at this again and see if I'm not changing. It's either because there's some kind of sickness inside of me or some kind of junk food that's taken over my appetite. I'm not hungry for God. I'm not hungry for the blessing. You know, so do we want to be hungry for God? You know, do we want what he has for us? See, there's nothing wrong with confessing the word. Nothing at all. There's nothing wrong, you know, with asking for and praying for the things that are in the word. I mean, those things are all good. But just think about it there. If you've got that relationship with him, when you basically are taking up habitation with him, do you think that those things would manifest themselves quicker than if we just, you know, did it whenever it was convenient, but we went on purpose at a certain time, a certain place, to spend time with our Father, and because I really think this, when we get in that special place at that special time, that he will begin to reveal those things that are in the way of us receiving what it is that we're seeking. So, here's a question. Do you want God to rub off on you? You know, are you willing to do what it takes to allow God to rub off on you? You know, most of you, it sounds like, yeah, I want that. You know, so that means, what that means is when that begins to happen, I'm going to begin to think his thinking. I'm going to begin having his feelings about these things. I'm going to have his reactions. I'm going to have his attitudes. All those things will be rubbing off on us. And I'm going to quit doing the things that he hates that I used to like to do, right? Yeah. Anybody ever done that? Oh, I really like doing that. We know God hates that to be happening, but we like to do it. Well, those things are just going to just, you know, work, you know, you look back and you go, well, where'd that go? I don't know where it went. It just went away. Okay? So as he rubs off on us, then we're going to change. I want you to get that word down. And when you walk out of here today, I want you to go, I'm changing. I'm changing, you know. There we go. Okay, so can you change? Do you want what Moses had?
Yeah.
Really? I don't. Now I'm setting you up. You know, when I was studying this out, and I'm going, man, this is so cool. this is so cool. And so then I saw another note that moved me to 2 Corinthians 3. And basically, I could hear this in my voice or my spirit. It says, wait till you get to 2 Corinthians 3. I go, well, what's 2 Corinthians 3 say? Let's go there. You're going to go, what? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Give you a second to get there. Okay, ready? Here we go. You are our epistle written on our hearts, known and read by all men. So he's writing to, this is Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with the ink by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, the heart. Okay, now skip down to verse 7. This is probably something you've never seen before. You've read it, but haven't seen it. But if the ministry of death, written on engraved stones, was glorious, you're not hearing it. You're not seeing it. The ministry of what? What was that? He calls it the ministry of death. Written on, in other words, he's saying that the Ten Commandments were the ministry of death. It was negative, wasn't it? Don't do this, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. And yet, it was what? What's it say there? It was glorious. I mean, Moses was under that, and he was what? He was shiny. Why was he shiny? Because God's glory was rubbing off on him. And this was the ministry of death. It's like, oh man, I read this and I go, ooh, I don't want that. But wait a minute, Moses did it. It worked for him really well. So he goes on, that was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily on the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was what? It was what? Fading or passing away. So the glory that Moses had was glory for a moment, and then it did what? It faded. It passed away. Well, that's, I don't know about you, but I went, really? Because we didn't see that in Exodus 34. It doesn't say anything about it fading away. But here we see in 2 Corinthians, Paul saying it faded away. It faded away. So verse 8, he says, so how will the ministry of the Spirit not be what? More glorious. In other words, through the Holy Spirit, the glory that we can receive is more glorious than that which Moses had. You hear me and Sue talk about this or pray about it, about wanting the more. We want the more. What's the more? I want more God. I want more glory. I want more of him. Well, some people say, well, I want more power. I want more. You get more of him, you get more power. But more of him doesn't come cheap. You have to go to that special place at that special time and be still and know that he's God. So then he goes on here in verse 8. He says, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation... Whoa, wait a minute. What did he call it? The ministry of what? The ministry of condemnation, the ministry of death. It's like, man, that was really, that was really hard back then, right? So, when today in the new covenant, it's not the ministry of condemnation, it's the ministry of conviction. So when we're doing something we're not supposed to do, and the Holy Spirit decides to speak to us at that time, we get this, or if I'm up here saying something and it stabs you in the heart, it's not condemnation, it's conviction. But so many people decide to take it as condemnation, they get offended, and then so it doesn't do any good. Conviction. There's a difference in conviction and condemnation. Conviction causes us to move to a place where we change, whereas condemnation causes a place where we get offended. Okay? So, verse 8 again. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. So it exceeds much more than what Moses had. What Moses had was pretty awesome, right? So we can have church. Worship can be great. The word can be great. We can walk out of here, right? We can just be full of God, full of the, you know, it's all, we're just feeling glorious and renewed. And we walk out of here, we hit that front door, and what hits you there? Doubts, fear, challenges. The glory begins to what? Fade. So do we want that to happen? No. So verse 8 says, how will the ministry of the Spirit be more glorious? With Moses, it was a ministry of death. It was a ministry of conviction. Yet there was still glory with it. So what he's saying here is that the ministry of death was still glory. Then how much more should we in our spirits be glowing in the ministry of life by the Holy Spirit? I don't know about you, but this gets me excited. Okay? So, we just read 9, right? Did we read 9 for the minute? Okay. Yeah, okay. All right, so really what he's saying here is, did Moses have it going on? I mean, was he cool, right? You know, I mean, he was like hip. He was, you know, whatever it is you say today, you know, about people being cool, you know. Well, he's saying you can have more than he had. That's what he's saying. So verse 10 is, for even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect because of the glory that excels. Where is the glory that excels? Where is that glory that excels? Where is that glory that excels? It's in you. It's in you. Well, I'm not seeing it. Special place, special time. Changing. See, in other words, in a sense, your face is supposed to shine. In other words, God is supposed to rub off on you more than it rubbed off on Moses. Because of Jesus, because of the Holy Spirit, right? That glory exceeds what Moses had. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 again. So here we go, verse 12. Let's jump down to 12. And he says, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech. Boldness. Say boldness. See, it's just like when I was talking to that guy last Friday. You know, I mean, you know, we're sitting in this office, and then we just start talking. And I could have just like, you know, I'm busy, man. I don't want to talk. He actually started it. And I'm going to go with it. And then we got done. I says, hey, you want to go get some coffee? I could have just, nice talking, see you later. I don't have time. I just felt in my heart, though, something was going on. Okay, so, verse 12, therefore, since we have such hope, we use great boldness of speech, unlike Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the end of what was passing away. You see what's going on here? With Moses, it was temporary. With us in the new covenant, it's not temporary. We can have it all the time. So the people got to see Moses as fading glory, okay? But you and me, we're supposed to have increasing glory, not fading glory. It's supposed to be increasing. That glory on the decline, we get glory on the increase. You know, I thought 34 was good until I got into this, and it's like, wait a minute. This is for me. This is for you. Okay, verse 14. But their minds were blinded, okay? For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil, this is important, you want to underline this, because the veil is taken away, okay? In who? Christ. The veil is taken away in Christ. Okay, so they had a veil over their face. When they, you know, before you get born again, you have a veil over your face. You can't see these things clearly. But that veil is taken away in Christ, right? So you ever been to a wedding, you know, and the bride comes up, you know, and she's got this veil over her face, and you know that's her, but you really can't see her. She looks kind of fuzzy, right? When you look at her, she's kind of fuzzy looking, you know, but then when she gets up to the groom and they go through their vows, and then the groom, who's the groom? Jesus. The groom lifts the veil, and now we can see how? Clearly. I don't know about you, but I like that. It's taken away in Christ. Verse 15. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is what? It's taken away. The groom lifts the veil, and now we can see clearly. So, I still want to know this question. How do I know that he's rubbing off on me? So, I'm going to change. And it's like, well, how are we going to get there? Well, let's just keep on going here, okay? Verse 17. Now the Lord said to the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. I don't know if you heard Sue praying this morning in one of those songs. He said, well, there's liberty, there's freedom, there's victory. Okay, quote unquote. Okay. And then verse 18. Here we are. Okay. What's the first three words? But we all. Okay, so when it was Moses, right? How many was it with Moses? It was just one. Moses was the only one that could change. He was the only one that got to see and experience the glory of God. He was, they could see it on his face, but they didn't experience it. They didn't get to talk to God. They didn't get to receive the word. They just had to, when Moses came down, then they had to listen to what Moses had to say. But Moses got before God, and God spoke to him. Him. Just him. See, that's the key thing here. This is what Paul's saying. Listen, that's passed away now. So now what we have is, but we all. Say that. But we all. Or we can say it this way. But me. But I. This is me. Okay? In other words, you're not an exception. See, in Moses' time, everybody was an exception. Moses was the exception. We're not an exception in the New Testament. This is a but we all. This is available to all of us. In Moses' day, it was just Moses, but now it's we all, y'all, right? It's not just limited to people, certain special people. It's not limited to ministers. It's but we all. I mean, the day you get born again, it's available. It's the day you get born again, it's available. And it's, you know, it's so many of us, we've gone so long, so many years, just going to church, reading the Bible, reading a devotional, and not really getting to know him. Well, I changed a little bit when I first got saved. You know, I quit cussing, and I quit doing this, and I quit doing that. And, you know, but I didn't really get much beyond that. But I still go to church. I still read my Bible. I got a devotional I read once a month. You know, that's not it. That's not it. Okay, he says, but we all with what? Unveiled face. You know, what does that mean? That means nothing's hidden anymore. Right? See, when you come to church, you can have all the worst things in the world happening to you. And you cover it up. How you doing? Good, man. Everything's great. No problem. No worries. Everything's good. Yep. You know, my right leg's about ready to fall off. But hey, I'm doing really well. You know, how are you? Oh, my wife just left me. Things are good at home. Yeah, okay. Right? I mean, we can cover it up. We can wear clothes, you know, that cover things. We can, you know, We were good at camouflaging things. But he says unveil. That means when I go into this special time, this special place, I am naked before him. I'm laying it out there. This is me, God. This is me. And this is I want to talk to you about me. I want to talk to you about I need you so bad because I am so messed up today. Or maybe things are going really good, but you know, what about tomorrow, Lord? I just want to, can we just take care of tomorrow today? I mean, it just, you know, we get so stuck on praying the same thing every day. You know, when you go have coffee or sit down and talk with somebody, you know, and do you talk about the same thing every day? Right? Why do we say the same prayer? Father, I lay my head down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to take. If it should die before I wake, I pray he keeps it. It's like, wow, you know. Bless us, O Lord, these thy gifts which we're about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Gee, well, I mean, there's a lot of heart in that, right? I want to know him. I want to know him. No camouflage. Stripped down, raw, unveiled. Okay, so he goes on here. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. Okay, so I got my veil off, and he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. What's he saying we're going to see? The glory. So when we go to him with the unveiled face exposed, you come to a mirror. Now, why do you go look at a mirror? So you can see yourself, right? Okay, but what if that mirror had a veil, and it says, "You look, you know, your eyes are still stuck together when you get up, you know, and you got drool on your chin, and your hair is all messed up, right?" And the mirror says, "Yeah, you look good." And you go outside, right? You look good? Why? Because you didn't look in the mirror right. You looked in it to looked in the mirror with a veil. So he goes on here, he says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. I hope this is opening up some of this scripture to you. Because this can be kind of challenging, a few scriptures here. Beholding as in a mirror the glory of God. In other words, when I look in the mirror, I'm going to see, I'm going to be what? Seeing? What? Say it. I'm going to look in that mirror, I'm going to see special time, special place, looking in, reading here, looking in the mirror. This is who I am in Christ Jesus. This is who I am because of him. This is who I am in him. This is who I am through him. This is who I am because of him. This is all those words about who we are in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, we just look at our cross-eyed eyes and the drool and the mess up hair and all those things, you know. So, in other words, I'm seeing who I am in light of who he is. See, when Jesus looks on, or when the Father looks down on you, he looks at you through the blood of Jesus. That's why he forgives you your sins. He looks at you through the blood of Jesus. He's not like, oh, Randy, you were bad today. You know, here's 35 lashes. No, he looks at me through the blood of Jesus, and Jesus asked the Father to forgive me my sins. He paid the price. Okay? Yeah. So, so if we go raw, okay, as before a mirror, letting him show me as he showed me, me as he shows me. Okay, you want me to say that again? When I go raw before the mirror, letting him show me, me as he sees me. Okay, and then he goes on here in the same, I think we're still in verse 18, as being transformed into the same image. In other words, God's going to rub off on you. Being what? Changed or transformed. Okay, which means to be changed into the image of the Lord. Now we're going to begin to look like him. We're going to begin to think like him. We're going to begin to act like him. Because we're beholding him in the mirror. So when you go to God, raw, honest, open, then he can relate to you as he sees you based upon his word. Once you receive that you are being transformed or changed into the same image like him. This is serious stuff, you guys. Now, we talk about revival here, right? We want revival. We want this to happen. We want that to happen. You know, but if we just do church, if we just do life like we've been doing it for the last 20 years, hey, this is squats, nothing's going to happen. This is not going to happen. You'll be like every other Christian, every other church is out there. It's like, well, I'm just waiting for it to happen. I'm just waiting for it to happen. It'll happen. When? I'm just waiting for it to happen. See, and that's what I hear so many, God bless them, I hear so many pastors say that. I'm just waiting for it to happen. I'm not praying for it. I'm not seeking it. I'm not looking for it. I'm not chasing after it. I'm not chasing God. I'm just waiting for it to happen. So in the meantime, I'm going to read a good book. I'm going to preach a good book, you know, and we'll just kind of wait for God to happen. And he says this in Chronicles 7, 2 Chronicles. He says, My people. See, and my people are the ones that are hungry for God. They're the ones that are seeking God. They're the ones that are praying for revival. They're the ones that are praying for the glory of God to be poured out. Those are his people. Not the ones just sitting back waiting. Well, I'm going to wait, you know. I had one guy, one pastor friend of mine, tell me, he said, well, I know it's things are working good because you're praying for us. I didn't say anything. I thought lots of things, you know. But see, that's not the point. The point, right, is what are you doing, right? You know, and so it's like, you know, you're sitting out there and you hear me say, you know, that we're a spirit-filled, charismatic church, you know, praying for a revival and, you know, waiting for the power of God and the word and all this stuff to manifest itself. But if you're just waiting, you're not going to, you're good chance you're going to miss it. The power of God can come through here, you know, that mighty wind come through here. And everybody is on their face, you know, praying and repenting, and you're going, what's wrong with y'all? You don't want to be that person. So if that happens, fake it. Okay? Have a thing here. Fake it till you make it. If you see everybody else on their face repenting, that's a clue for you to get on your face and start repenting. Okay? You know, but I just, you know, I know there's a time coming. It's coming. He's coming, you guys. He's coming. There's the former and latter rain's going to be poured out. You know, you go, well, Pastor, why is anybody going to come here? We're just kind of a small church. I'll tell you why. Because we're praying for those things to happen.
Amen.
You know, we need to play that video about Camp Christmas. There was a word by this pastor. His name's Camp Christmas, about what's coming. It's coming soon. And it's pretty much what we're preaching. It's coming. And it's coming soon. But we got to be expecting. We got to be praying for it. And so if you're like, well, I just don't have that hunger for that, you know, Pastor. Well, here's how you get that hunger. Special time, special place. Ask for it. Ask for it. So Moses went from glory to less glory, right? And so when he got around people, he lost his shine. Okay? Does that sound familiar? Yeah. So you're not like Moses. You're not supposed to be like Moses. You're supposed to be, you know, Moses went from glory to less glory. You're supposed to go from glory to more glory. Ever-increasing glory. We get it, and then we lose it. We should get it and keep it. So a lot of us, you know, a lot of people, a lot of Christians, this is how they do the church. They go to church, they get it. They leave church, they lose it. They go to church, they get it. They lose church or leave church and they lose it. They go to church and they get it. They leave church and they lose it. They're like Moses. They're like Old Testament people. You know, that's the old way. No, shoot. You see, that's what God doesn't, that's not what he's doing now. That's not what he wants you to do. He says, yeah, I want you to come to church. I want you to get it. I want you to go to your special place, special time, and I want you to get it. And I don't want you to lose it. And he says, how? Well, how do we do this? And then we keep on, we're still in that same verse. And he says, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. By how do we do this? How do we keep it? By the Spirit of the Lord. See, here's the thing, you guys. He's in you. You're carrying him. He sees what you see. He hears what you see. He reads what you read. He watches what you watch. He sees the games that you're playing. He sees all this stuff that you do. You carry that glory inside of you. And we need to stay fresh with that. You know, women have this thing in their purse. I bet you every woman in here has this. A compact. Nope. Wow. I guess it's a new day. Y'all just look good. All right, one next. I'm not going to say anything. Okay, right, but you know, you're driving down the road. Okay, come on. Okay. We got mirrors in the car. We don't need a compact, right? Yeah. All right. So much for that one. Okay. But I need to tell that joke again. I told a couple weeks ago that you didn't get. Anyway, I mean, so you get where I'm going with this. You know, we want to stay fresh. You know, women, okay, used to have compacts in their purses, right? Why? So they could look, so if their lipstick got messed up, we could fix the lipstick, right? And we go in the bathroom and check the back of our hair to make sure, oh, yeah, it's good. You know, I get the front here, you know, right? Why? To stay fresh. People say, well, Pastor, I'm trying to change. And I go, seriously?
Oh, yeah.
And I say, well, are you spending time in his presence? I was talking to you. Do you spend time in his presence? If you do go in his presence, are you open and honest with him? This is important. Because he says that when we come with an unveiled face, looking into a mirror before the Lord, you will change. You will change. Jesus brings about that change. You're not doing it on your own power. You know, you can't just quit smoking. You can't just quit drinking. You can't just quit doing drugs. You need help. You need help. I've known a lot of people miraculously quit drinking. Quit smoking. Quit whatever it is they were dealing with. Boom, boom. It can happen. Or they can still get some help, but God can still be in it. You know that scripture that says we lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. See, that doesn't mean instantly. You know, a lot of times Jesus prayed for somebody, and it wasn't until later that day or later that hour that they got healed. Sometimes it was instant, sometimes it wasn't. No, don't put a this is how it's going to happen type deal on it. Amen? So here's the question. Are you hungry for God? Really hungry for God? So here's the thing. And he's ready to meet with you when you're ready to meet with him. Special time, special place. And we go from glory to what? Glory. We don't go from glory to fading, back to glory to fading, back to glory to back to fame. We go from glory to glory to glory. Basically, it says, you know, I'm thinking about this, is basically it's saying, I have no bad days. That's when bad things happen to me, I got to kick in the glory. I'm going to kick in the glory. Lord, look what they're trying to do to me. He says, I got you covered. I got your back. I got your front. I got your sides. I got all of you everywhere. Whatever you need to be gotten, I got it. Amen? Okay, so really, you know, I want you to think about this today. Write those, go back and read those and think about them and underline them, highlight them, you know, and pray them and say, okay, God, you know, and then tomorrow when you get up to go pray, say, okay, God, here I am. Open and honest. This is my sin, name it. This is my problem, name it. Take ownership. But I know this is of the devil, Lord, and you will deliver me from that. Show me the path, show me the way. And then say, this is what your word says about me. This is who I am in you. So this is what I'm going to believe. I'm not going to believe I'm that sinner. I'm not going to believe that I'm that loser, because you're not a loser and you're in me. And the word, you said in your word that greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? So, hey, man, that's who I am. That builds up your confidence. So when the devil comes in like a storm, we raise up a standard, and it's called the word of God. It's called the blood of the Lamb. It's called the name of Jesus. We lift that up and we emerge victorious.